fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can experience the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today you'll be listening to Jacob Gibbs, pastor of the Cedar Lake Seventh-day Adventist Church in Cedar Lake, Michigan. Now, here's Pastor Jacob.
Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we're very thankful for your word and your work. We're very thankful that we're here. We're thankful for the message, dear Father. We're thankful for being the people of God in these last days. We're thankful for all the emotions that we felt this week, and we're thankful that you're still in charge. And Lord, we pray, we're here. This is your time. This is your moment. This is holy time. We ask you'd speak very loud, very clear, and give us hearts to be receptive to the workings of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to be talking about, well, just for your record, because you might be saying, oh no, we're going through Romans kind of fast, and now we're going verse by verse. I just love verse 1 and verse 2. They're some of my favorite verses in all the Bible. So I wanted to spend one sermon on verse 2. Romans 12, verse 2. Someone sent me a text, kind of a fun text. This is not your normal style. You normally have bigger passages of scripture reading. Now you're just focusing, well, I love this passage. And so the sermon title is The Two Schools of Romans 12, verse 2. The Two Schools of Romans 12, verse 2. And so I remember when I graduated from high school. And I don't know what it's like now, but maybe I could maybe speak to some who just graduated. I got all this mail from all these different schools, like pamphlets and postcards. Does that still happen? And they, you know, all the area around, state around, like even probably beyond, and it just fills your mailbox. And I wasn't the smartest kid with the highest GPA, but I think my brother, he had like a 3.8, 9, something. And he got a lot more than I did, so I felt kind of bad. But I got some, and I was happy. But I believe that there's two schools that send postcards out. And the two schools are found in Romans 12 and verse 2. They send postcards out. This is the verse. And do not be conformed. There's a conforming school to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I believe there's a transforming school. They send out postcards inviting the world to it. I believe there's a conforming school, and they send out postcards for the world to follow. That's going to be the theme of our message today. Some of these schools, or these two schools, it seems like they have some things in common, things that they work in common. Doesn't mean they're the same, but there's something that we can look at. I think work, how these schools work. They both work, but they work differently. As you'll notice, gray represents the conforming school, and the reddish color, if you can call that red, is the transforming school. The conforming school, it works from the outside in. And that's how it gets people to conform. The transforming school, it works from the inside out. And maybe you've seen one of these, a Moldorama. In Chicago, there's these Moldoramas, and as a kid, I think they're around, you know, the technology was around World War II time and beyond. And you go to like the Sheds Aquarium in Chicago, or the Fields House, what is it? Whatever, Museum of Natural History. And so you get these kids, when they see these machines, in a boy's mind, this is what it's all about. Whatever money, it seemed to be outrageously priced for a piece of plastic, but you get to see the process. And you put that money in, and you start hearing the machinery work, and everything starts moving, and those two molds come together, and then it pumps that hot liquid plastic right in there. That plastic has no choice but to follow the mold. Definition of conform. This is from a Greek lexicon. To conform oneself, one's mind and character, to another pattern. And so it's this outside pressure that's trying to make humans into a certain mold. We're going to be talking about that. And thank you for the Sabbath school, talking about monarch butterflies. Transformation is so like a butterfly. It like transforms from the inside out. And this is what it means from the lexicon, to change inwardly in fundamental character or condition. So one is trying to put pressure on the outside. The other is trying to get into the inside and have it change from the inside out. This is a beautiful passage. Testimonies, Volume 3, 507. All should guard the senses, lest Satan gain victory over them. For these are the avenues to the soul. This was written some time ago, but someone that wrote before the testimonies, you may have heard his name, John Bunyan. He wrote several books, but one book is most famous. The most famous book is called Pilgrim's Progress. There's a book that he wrote. It's called Holy War. Have you heard of Holy War? Holy War is just as long as Pilgrim's Progress. Just like Pilgrim's Progress, it's an allegory. But this allegory deals with a city. The city's called Mansoul. And this city has five gates. Guess what the gates are called? The ear gate, the eye gate, the nose gate, the mouth, you know? And so it's this story of how the city that represents a human and how the enemy is on the outside and he's whispering in the ear gate. And finally they let the enemy in, takes over the city. And then the rest of the book is how God takes over the city again. The idea that the five senses are the avenue of a soul has gone back a long time. And what this says here, we need to guard the avenues of the soul. Because the devil works, the conforming school works on the outside influences. He's trying to get inside the mind. This is from Review and Herald, a little commentary on Pharaoh. The Lord could do nothing more to convince Pharaoh, for he was barricaded in obstinacy and prejudice, where the Holy Spirit could not find access to his heart. What happened is the devil got access to Pharaoh's heart through his senses and then put a barricade so that God couldn't work. Number two, point two. Two schools both have teachers and they both have an authority. They have both authoritative materials. They both have teachers. There's invisible teachers. We know what Ephesians 6:12 says, where we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but there's powers. Those powers we may not be able to see. So who's the invisible teacher? Who's the head teacher of the conforming school? Of course you know it. Satan. Okay, who are the visible teachers of the conforming school? Think about it. Who are the visible teachers? Well, media kind of, but that's not a teacher necessarily. But who are the, maybe the writers of media? So who's the invisible head teacher of the transforming school? It'd be Christ. He's the head teacher of the transformation school. It's Christ. And then who are the visible teachers? Maybe spiritual mentors, maybe Bible teachers, maybe parents, maybe neighbors, maybe fellow church members, maybe pastors, evangelists, doctors. Can a visible teacher be in one camp but look like the other? Jesus says something about beware of, what is it? Yeah, definitely. And so we got to be extra careful what kind of influence that teachers, pastors, family members, are we giving an influence that's letting God work from the inside out so there can be reformation of character? Are we just putting standards together to get behavior alignment? We need to be careful. Something that I think about is we have some wonderful church teachings. But if we get people to obey all the standards, but they don't have the transformation inside, how does it affect them for eternal life? If we get them to look right, but they're not right in the inside, what kind of work is the church doing? Are they doing the work of the transformation school or the conforming school? We got to make sure that we're appealing to the heart, that the heart realizes and responds and grows. And when the heart grows, it grows out into character and behavior and those types of things. Let's look at authorities. Now, these are the symbols that my computer had. But I think the authority, the beautiful and wonderful authority of the transforming school are the words of God. What are the authorities? I think you hit on it. What are the authorities that kind of help pressure people into thinking certain ways? I think there's media. I read some articles this week about how media tricks the brain of thinking it's getting things when it's not. And it ends up, especially the social media addictions, it ends up with having a little bit lower self-esteem. Feeling like you're not doing well as all your other friends post wonderful pictures. I encourage you, if you're into selfies, put some selfies that are less desirable of you online. Just kind of have a reality check. So that when you do that, it might help your friends realize, oh, you're normal. What about music? I did something today. I'm not really acquainted with the billboards. I have no idea what's there. So I researched the top two artists of billboards. And then I went on the lyrics. Because I want to know what the authority was. Because when people write music, there's all sorts of different reasons why they write music. But we all know that music shifts and change our thought pattern, especially when there's lyrics. The first two songs of this number one album, Drugs and Money. That was the theme. So when you listen to this all the time, I have a special friend who watches Netflix and cable television a lot. And, you know, when I'm around him, he swears. He says he's sorry, but when you hear what's being played, Netflix swears. I think there's a connection. Media transforms our words. Media helps us think the way they are. It helps us think the way it wants us to. So are you in a conforming school or a transforming school? What are you giving your mind? We give the authorities that we choose when it comes to this. Do you give a lot of time to the authority of the conforming school? What kind of music do you listen to? Is it conforming your mind to think about drugs and money? Is it conforming your mind to think about sex? Is it conforming your mind to think about being rebellious? You know, when we choose a transforming school, it doesn't put pressure on the outside. goes straight to the heart and tells you who you are. It tells you that you're a son, you're a daughter. And it encourages you to come closer to the head teacher. And as you get closer to the head teacher, Jesus Christ, you start getting transformed. You start getting recreated in the image of God and who He wants you to be. I think sometimes, especially now, there's movements. There's movements that cause us to think a certain way. It causes us to have groupthink. I'm reading a book right now about thinking. And sometimes we just stop thinking and we let experts and technology do a lot of our thinking. For example, with technology. I remember there was a day when we didn't rely on the GPS. So before, when you're driving somewhere, you didn't know you had to do a lot of thinking, mapping, and then planning. But now, what do? Default GPS. But however, sometimes the GPS makes errors. Korean Airline, several years ago, there was a malfunction of technology and the whole plane crashed because of a malfunction in technology. We need to bring back thinking in our church. We need to be thinkers in the last days. We can't just conform. We can't just conform. We got to be able to think things through. That's something that I believe is a lost art in society today. Both schools have marketing strategies. Marketing strategies. Mark 8:35, it brings it out. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. You know, really, this is a popular marketing strategy. It's basically saying, you want to come to the conforming school? You just do what your heart wants to do, and then you can have entrance in. As long as you just want to live life how you want to, you want to enjoy life as it is, you can have this school, transforming school. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. One is self-focused. I want to do what I want to do. The other one is other-focused. I'm willing to lay down my life to help a brother or a sister out. That is Jesus' method. Willing to lay down our life to help somebody out. What school do you belong to? What influences your decisions? What school do you belong to? Are you conforming to the image of the world? Or do you find yourself being renewed with a desire to come closer and closer to Jesus Christ? Acceptance policies. Every school has acceptance policies. It seems like both schools will accept people from the other school. Both schools will accept transfers. And so if you find yourself in the ranks of the conforming school, you can choose to go to the school of transformation. You can let God into the heart and you can change your way. But God doesn't force people in and He doesn't force people to stay in. He gives them the choice. And if you choose apostasy, which is just turning away from the faith, you can go to the conforming school. Both of them work. However, I think the conforming school, they try a little bit harder to keep you in. They don't want to give you that free choice. Here it says, conformity to worldly customs converts the church to the world. It never converts the world to Christ. Familiarity with sin will inevitably cause it to appear less repulsive. Is that true? The more desensitized you are to sinful behavior, the less sinful it appears. Now, that's from Great Controversy, page 509. I rewrote it. Kind of go towards the transforming school. Transformation to the Word of God converts the world to the church. It never converts Christ to the world. Familiarity with Christ will inevitably cause him to appear more wonderful. Is that fair, what I did? Does that make sense? Both schools have goals. Both schools have goals. We start in the middle. It seems like the school of conformity has the upper hand, doesn't it? Because when we're born in this world, what kind of heart do we have? It says that we have a heart that's desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. Who can change a leopard's spots? Our humanity is sinful to the core. And it seems like our humanity is sinful to the core. The pressures that come along, it just seems like it would be easy to be molded into the world's image. But I love this in 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. What this is saying, this unveiled face, it's the Jews had this kind of a spiritual covering over their eyes. They couldn't see the beauty of Christ. But if we were to look at the beauty of Christ, if we ask Him to take off our blinders and we just focus on the mission and the wonder of Christ, we start changing from the inside out. The goal for the transformation school, I found it, I think it's in Jude 24, chapter 1, 24. I started to realize how real this verse is. Jude 24. Jude is only one book, 25 verses in it. And so this verse tells us there's a process that we go closer and closer to our head teacher. But look at Jude 24. Now to Him who's able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. You know what's a beautiful thing about this? As we get nearer and nearer to the end of time, there's going to be extraordinary pressures upon faithful God followers who love Jesus Christ. Those pressures will do one of two things. That pressure will either cause you to join the conforming school, or it's going to cause you to get closer and closer to the transforming one. And as these pressures get more intense, and what we see right now is practically nothing in comparison to what's coming, these pressures are going to cause us to pray like we've never prayed before. This is just the training wheels stage. And as we start praying like we've never prayed before, as we start searching our soul like we've never searched before, as we get deep into the Word of God, as we get deep into prayer, then the transformation, and then Jude 24 will come true and present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. In a sense, Christianity is going to be put in a pressure cooker that the food will get done sooner. That's how the end times are going to work. It's going to be a pressure cooker. And either we're going to say, I want out of the pressure cooker, and you go into the world's pressure cooker, and that's okay because you don't have to give up self. But if you stay true to Jesus, if you have heaven as your goal, He will give you the strength, He will give you the desire, He will give you the love to keep in the transforming school. And at the end of the day, the prophetic day, He's going to have a group of people who will love Jesus supremely, who will love Him even if they're faced with death, they'll choose love for Jesus more because He's training us to know what love is. One side, it's going towards your left. It's training you to have self-love as supreme. On the right, it's training you to know and understand God's love. There is nothing better than knowing God's love. An ounce of God's love today will get you through the year. Can you imagine the full measure of God's love? Both practice unity. Both want complete unity of their subjects. However, on the negative side, but Pilate did not heed, this is a little commentary from Signs of the Times, March 28, from 1900. But Pilate did not heed the heaven-sent message. Remember the message that Pilate received? Who sent the message? His wife. Instead, he used Christ's trial as an occasion of making friends with Herod. What was it say? A corrupt confederacy was formed between the two rulers before they hated each other. But you know the interesting thing? The unity of the conforming school and the unity of the transforming school still center around Christ. While we're not to sacrifice one principle of truth, to stay united if someone's trying to sacrifice a principle of truth, one of the commandments of God, a moral thing, we don't go. If you read the Great Controversy, that's been the whole issue of the Great Controversy. Martin Luther wanted to be united with the church, but they questioned some of the principles of God, so he had to break away. It should be our constant aim to reach the state of unity. This is the evidence of our discipleship. Unity and self-sacrifice. The stronger we want to be united, the more self-sacrifice is required for unity to happen. If you have no self-sacrifice, you can't be united in marriage. You can't be united in family. If you're not willing to give to your spouse or to your family, it's not going to be, as the song says, happy is the home, or happy in the home. But when you start realizing the goal of the transformation school, you start realizing the motto of pick up your cross and follow me, self-sacrifice, then you can start to understand how unity happens. Second selected message is page 159. Unity is the strength of the church. Satan knows this, and he employs his whole force to bring in dissension. He desires to seek a lack of harmony among the members of the church of God. Now, the lack of harmony, it's really when people are trying to bring in teachings that go against God's word. Greater attention should be given to the subject of unity. What is the recipe for the cure of the leprosy of strife and dissension? Obedience to the commandments of God. The conforming school and the transforming school both talk about the power of the will. The conforming school, do what thou wilt. Have you heard that before? Somebody in the 1900s came up with this slogan, do what thou wilt. Do what thou wilt was from, you could call him a Satanist, Aleister Crowley. And Aleister Crowley has influenced movie stars, musicians, and the whole philosophy is, do what thou wilt. Jay-Z, if you know of any kind of pop culture in the past 15 years, Jay-Z, pretty big name rapper, he wears shirts with do what thou wilt. In the 70s and 80s, Ozzy Osbourne has a song giving homage to Aleister Crowley. This is Satan's desire. He wants you to practice the will, your will. Do what you want. And that is the conforming school. But God says, do what God wills. Do what God wills. You know the passage in Romans 2 and verse 12, it says, do not be conformed to this world. Why? Don't be conformed to this world. Why? Don't be conformed, because if you're conformed to this world, you won't know what, you won't understand something. You won't be able to think things through for God. It says, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't be conformed because you need your mind renewed. If you're conformed, you won't have a renewed mind. That you may prove the good. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? You see, if you're part of the transforming school, you'll be able to grasp the will of God. You would never be able to grasp that before. If we're not having an attitude of surrendering self, and the more you surrender self, the more you will understand the will of God for your life. And sometimes we're afraid to know the will of God because we don't like self-surrender. And we react as, I don't want to pray to know God's will because I don't want God's will to be known to me because then I'm liable to follow it. That's a recipe for misery. The way of the transgressor is hard. It may look good in the beginning, but sinful habits run its course. And it runs its course sometimes shorter than not. When we can understand God's will, you start to understand who you are in His image. You understand how He looks at you. It's a wonderful thing. Amen. This is from Desire of Ages 508. It is as true now as it was in apostolic days that without the illumination of the divine spirit, humanity cannot discern the glory of Christ. Without willing to submit your mind to be transformed, you won't understand the wonderful things that God has for you. The truth and the work of God are unappreciated by world-loving and compromising Christianity. And now, as in Christ's day, I would recommend that you read Desire of Ages 508 so you get the complete quote. And now, as in Christ's day, they are misunderstood and reproached and oppressed by the priests and Pharisees of their time. When we let our mind go into the hands of Jesus and we let Him work in our life, He shows us things, the most beautiful things. He makes connections that we can't even dream of. It's a beautiful thing. Now, I have the question here. What school do you want to belong to? Do you find yourself being conformed into the world's image by the things you watch, things you listen to, the way you look? Do you find yourself conforming into what you see in media? Or do you want to be transformed? Remember, transformation works from the inside. And it works out to everything about your being. What school do you want to belong to? The conforming school, it has an end. There's a last day of school in the conforming school. There's no graduation, but there's a last day. But the school of transformation, there is no last day of school. And it gets better and better. It gets better and better in this life. The longer I've been with Jesus, it's better and better. Yeah, there's difficult times in this world. There's difficult things that we have to deal with. There's struggles in the church. But we stay true to the school of Christ. We stay true to the transforming school. And God will guide His church correctly. Be patient. God will guide it. Listen to this quote. Fits this whole message together. Last quote. Learn of me, says Jesus, in a sense, the head teacher. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest. We are to enter the school of Christ, to learn from Him meekness and lowliness. This is a great definition for redemption. Redemption is that process by which the soul is trained for heaven. Isn't that a good definition? And when you get to heaven, the school of Christ continues. This training means a knowledge of Christ. It means emancipation from the ideas, habits, and practices that have been gained in the school of the Prince of Darkness. Who's been in the school of the Prince of Darkness? all of us, we all have inclinations. The soul must be delivered from all that is opposed to the loyalty of God. The only way we can be delivered is if we request a transfer of schools. If you request to be in the school of Christ, guess what? He has an open door policy. He'll accept you in. He'll accept you in. Some of you have been influenced by the authority of the conforming school. You know it, and that's all that matters. You know the things that you watch and the things that you listen to and how it warps your understanding of who God is. You know those things. As we're nearing the end, the less authority we give the conforming school in our life, the more authority we give the transforming school of Christ in our life. That is the best way. Be careful of how you're conformed, because you don't want to be conformed. We are to enter the school of Christ. Father, there's freedom in the school of Christ to connect with you wherever and whenever. And Father, I want to pray that we would see the truth of our lives. We would really see if we're being conformed into the image of the world. You would help us to see the direction of our lives. If we're self-centered, if that's where we get our complete joy, there's a greater joy out there. Lord, teach me the greater joy. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to Pastor Jacob Gibbs, pastor of the Cedar Lake Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit his church this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You will find the Cedar Lake Seventh-day Adventist Church at 7260 North Academy Road in Cedar Lake, Michigan. And their church services begin at 10:50 a.m. This is a Strong Tower Radio production.